welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with T-Rex.
Yes, I am here.
And Jake Ellenberger, who is actually not with us physically, but he's in Nebraska, correct?
I am.
Yes.
I'm in Omaha right now, but I made the show. I'm online, guys,
yes.
So I'm happy to be here.
So now you're in Omaha training your brother. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, he's finishing up. He's just finished up the last 2 weeks of training, and then he's fighting next weekend in San Antonio.
Wow. Now, who's he fighting against?
You know, I forgot his name. He's had about 5 opponent changes, so now we got a guy. He doesn't care. To just somebody sign it, you know. He's got to fight.
What if, like, Vitor Belfort comes out? he doesn't care.
Well, that might be a little strong for the first 5 years. It might be a little strong.
But aren't you guys watching tape of this person that you're supposed
nothing
to?
Nothing like getting prepared for a specific dude.
You know, I usually do, though. I usually study a lot of film, but I watched about the first 30 seconds of this guy's fight, and I didn't need to watch anymore.
Oh, come on. That's a little cocky, if I say so. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. But, hey, man, you're the fighter. I'm just the comedian. So
Adam, I always appreciate your insight, but it's more so of like, you know, thinking out, you know, don't not thinking too much into it. Don't be too much into it, because being more offensive minded to your strategy. Not worrying so much about what the guy's gonna do, but I get what you're saying.
But the guy did make the UFC. It's not just some random guy. I mean, the guy has obviously made it to the highest level of opposition. To watch 30 seconds and say, you know what, we're good. That's kind of, it's a little bit, I mean, come on. That's a little, I mean, I'm no, you know.
Maybe they're planning on this fight not going past 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's like, that's all right. Well, hey, you know, good luck. I really hope Joe pulls it off. He seems like a great guy. I love having him in studio. And we miss having you in studio,
no.
Man. So
he's ready. You know, that's what I'm saying. I didn't, you know, no disrespect to the guy he's fighting, but he's ready. You know, we're just focusing on him and what he's got to do offensively. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
So nice. I personally had a good week. I had shows all weekend. I had a show at the John Lovitz Club on Friday night, and it was packed. It was packed. I actually finally booked T-Rex, right? Here's what happens. So T-Rex, I'm like, for like, I don't know, 8 months, how come you don't book me, man? Oh,
first
you didn't book
first
me.
First was 4 months.
You don't book me.
Then it was 6 months. Now
dude,
it's 8 months.
So I go, T-Rex, all right. So I wanted to have him start the show, open the show first or second to get the energy up. T-Rex is a high-energy comic. I knew he would have a good set. Shows, I said, get here at 7:45.
No, hold on. In my defense, you did not say that.
Yeah, I did.
No, I said, what time are you getting there?
Oh.
You said 7:45.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's not the same as you telling
you
me
were,
to be
you
there.
You were taking a survey of what time I'm getting there?
Yeah, I was going to try to meet you there. So, okay, you're going to get to 7:45, maybe we'll grab a drink.
The show starts at 8 o'clock, right? It's now 8:15, no T-Rex. He's supposed to be on at 8:20.
Yeah, but I didn't know that, though. It would have been nice information to have.
Oh, well, I texted you, where are you? And you go,
yeah, at 8:15.
8:15. And I get a text back saying, relax. Relax. You're supposed to be on in 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, so, but I didn't know I was supposed to be on at 8:20.
Well, you weren't on at 8:20 because you rolled in at 8:30. And then
it was 8:20, man.
So he went on. T-Rex had a great set. I went on. I had a great set. The crowd was a little tight at first. I had to kind of, you know, throw tons of punches at him and finally got him.
How do you think I felt when I went up there? They were looking at the first two comedians that were in front of me like statues.
Yeah, it was like a poetry contest up
right
there. Jade Bryce was there, and Jade Bryce looked so hot.
There was a bunch of hot girls there that night.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. So Jade Bryce comes, brings her boyfriend, who I totally wanted to hate. And the guy seemed like the nicest guy in the world, good-looking guy, rocker type, which got me even madder because I was hoping he'd be some douche with a Affliction shirt and tats and a tribal band tattoo. But no, he seemed like a nice guy. And
you even said that on stage. I don't know if you heard me upstairs dying laughing, but it was so funny what you were saying about him. Like, you know, I want to hate this bastard, but he's so cool. He's so good-looking.
I know. I wanted to bang him.
Right.
That's how... That's how cool he was. No, I'm kidding. I didn't want to bang him, but I did want to bang Jade Bryce.
Who was that chick that was in the front that had the baseball hat and the gigantic Hooters?
Oh, that was Brooke Haven. She's an adult film actress.
Oh, my God.
She came with her
family.
She was
looking amazing, too. And she was trying to be incognito with the baseball hat, like, pulled down low. That made it even hotter.
Oh, yeah. And then she texted me afterwards. She's like, you know, you always, you know, I would actually hang out with you if you invited me for a date, but all you do is call me for booty calls. And I was like, that's not true. A booty call is a date because I pay for rent. Technically, I am paying for something by having you come over.
Have you hit that before?
No. We've hooked up a little bit, but
hold on. Hooked up? What does that mean? Kissed a porn star in the mouth?
Yeah, hell yeah! I'll do it again. So but no, we've hooked up. She's a cool. I've been friends with her for 8-9 years. She happens to be a really cool girl. I asked her out like about 7 years ago. Funny story. When I used to do warm up for the Jenna Jameson show and all these other shows on Playboy, I was the warm up comedian, which means I had to get the crowd going.
You were the fluffer.
Well, it was the fluffer, which is hard because it was like 15 naked girls behind me scissoring each other, and then nobody wants to hear me going, "Hey, so where are you from?" And they're like, "Get out of my face, dude!" So it's the only job that I would show up 3 hours early to.
Remember, I did it twice.
Yeah, you did that.
Thanks to you,
Jesse James Night Calls. That was the show.
Night Calls, and that was the only time I ever performed with a boner before. I was on stage performing and looked over to my left, and two girls they're in the 69, like 5 feet away from me.
Oh, that was a crazy job. So anyway, so I asked Brooke out. I'm like, "Hey, you want to hang out one day?" She goes, "Actually, you have too bad of a reputation." I'm like, "You're a porn star, and I have a bad reputation." Yeah, like your reputation is documented on X Hamster. I mean, seriously. So anyway.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Crazy story. So I go on Tinder, right? And I have like 100 matches, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then these girls they're not responding to me, a lot of these girls. I think they just want me to like them. It's like, that's more of a vanity thing. So then I invited like all of them to the comedy show. I copied and pasted, like, "Hey, I'm at it." I figure at least who cares at this point? Maybe they'll come.
You're already not responding.
So they came. Like 15 girls from Tinder with their three friends each came, which I think may have been like why it was so awkward, because after the show they were like, "Hey, you're really funny. Is that stuff true?"
Who are those girls at the end that was talking to those dudes that have their podcast? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, the fighter girls?
Yeah, there was a bunch of girls in the corner you were talking to.
Oh, yeah, there was some fighter girls there too. There was some hot fighter girls.
There was like 8 of them.
Yeah, they changed over at like Legends. One of them knows you, Jake.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I'll tell you exactly who. She's smoking hot. She's really cool, actually. And she's an undefeated fighter. I mean, she's only 1-0. But
said she would give you some, but she's not into virgins.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's that.
Christy
that's
Lopez
first
came.
I've heard that.
Christy Lopez?
Uh-huh.
CeeLo?
Do you know her?
Oh, yeah, she's cool. She's trained with Kings, yeah.
Yeah, she came to the show.
Oh, nice.
She's pretty hot. All right, so thanks. Wait, can you not say she's hot?
Oh, no, yeah, she's not bad at all.
Oh, man, not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
I don't know. I think she's pretty hot. All right, so so she came to the show, Christy Lopez. And then, but I don't know. Honestly, though, that girl with the purple hair, the one who queefed in my mouth.
Canada?
Canada. Honestly, she like kind of wants to have a relationship, and I totally would. But she lives in Edmonton, though. I'm kind of torn because I don't get to see her. But she's amazing. I think I've met my soulmate. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to play her vagina like a didgeridoo?
Yes, thank you. That's exactly what I want to do, man. I want to play her vagina like a didgeridoo. That's really that's
sound of her queefing in your mouth. And
a guy with 4 kids. That's exactly what you say. Play her vagina like a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
That's,
what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it. That's not how I would describe me liking someone. I met my soulmate, and
you
want to play her vagina like a didgeridoo. I mean, that's...
You're the one that was talking about her queefing in your mouth.
I'm just telling you what happened, man. I'm giving you a play-by-play. You don't have to say, "I'm playing her vagina like a didgeridoo." Is that what they say at weddings? Do you promise to play her vagina like a didgeridoo?
I didgeridoo.
That's pretty funny. I like that.
You are hilarious to me, dude.
Thanks. I feel the same way. I did that joke about Diego Sanchez, how his eye was so black and swollen that Kim Kardashian tried to sit on it. And half the crowd laughed. Half the crowd looked like I was crazy. But I heard T-Rex dying laughing from upstairs, which made my day. So...
Yeah, he had me rolling the whole time. That's how that dude from that other podcast, we talked to him after the show.
Yeah,
he was like, dude, I didn't even know you were there. And then he was like, after you got off stage, I just heard your laugh upstairs. It was awesome.
Oh, it was a good time. It was actually a really good time.
Yeah, you had me dying.
Oh, thanks, man. There was actually a funny story I was going to tell. So this back in the day when I was dating, hanging out with this girl who does adult films. She texted me. I go, "What are you doing today?" And she says, "Oh, I'm giving a POV, which means point of view, BJ scene. What are you doing?" So I wrote back, "Not kissing you." Right? So then I showed my friend that, like, on the text, and right. He's like, "Dude, you gotta send me that. I gotta show my friends at work. That's the funniest thing." So then I went to send it to him. I sent it to the girl that I was texting with. So she got that on Father's Day. And she was like, "This is weird. Why'd you send me this?" I go, I thought you'd find it funny. She's like, "Really? This is what you've..." Man, that was
so funny.
That was a rough weekend. So, Jake.
Yeah, brother.
So what are you doing? So, okay, you're in Omaha. Now, are you getting the heroes welcome? What are you doing all day? Are you milking cows? What are you doing all day in Omaha?
No. Crazy story. It's kind of been crazy weather lately. There was a couple of tornadoes yesterday, and the weather's just been nuts. Like, it'll go from, like, raining to hail, like baseball-sized hail, and then, you know, the sun will come out. There's just been crazy weather this time of year here in the Midwest. But yeah, so a couple nasty tornadoes yesterday that blew through a small city here. And
damn. Is the whole town depending on you to save them?
No. No.
It's the crimson chin.
I saw some cattle flying too. That was crazy.
No way.
Cattle flying.
Yeah.
Really? You saw cows? Yeah. You saw cows flying?
Yeah, when you see a cow flying...
You did not see that.
Yeah.
Really?
I did, too. 100% I did.
You sure it wasn't Roy Nelson? No.
Oh, man.
Wait, so...
It's one of those where...
So what happened? So when you see...
Yeah, the weather here is just so unpredictable. I mean, it's like, well, we need to go. We need to take... You know, because I've always kind of been, you know, pushing the envelope. Like, I love to see storms and then tornadoes, stuff like that. But there's definitely a point where you're like, all right, we need to go.
Wait, were you chasing the storms?
Well, initially, yeah, but then it got to the point where we had to bounce.
Wait, so you're in Omaha, you're chasing storms. I know, are you back to, are you training, are you working out, or have you seen any high school sweethearts? What are you doing?
No, we're working out, yeah. I've been, help my brother out and then working out, but I've been playing a lot of cards, a lot of blackjack. That and doing well. Things are going really well. So
with blackjack,
and besides that, I mean, I've just been spending time with my nieces and my family. But yeah,
I'm a little concerned about your gamble. I know that you like to gamble, dude. You were in Vegas last week. Now you're in Omaha playing blackjack. Are there like secret card meetings that you're invited to?
No, there's a couple. I just go to the Horseshoe. It's right across the river here, but. Yeah, you know, I'll go on Hit and Run. It's been good though.
Wait, what's the Horseshoe?
The Horseshoe's a casino here.
So you're in a casino by yourself playing blackjack at like 4 a.m. Are people like, you know, hey, that's Jake Ellenberger? Are they asking for your autograph? Do they know who you are?
Yeah, well, it was the last time. It was kind of when I played this because the College World Series is in town right now. That's one of the things Omaha is known for. It's like each year they have the College World Series, big baseball tournament. And so I was playing blackjack next to this guy, and he's just betting pretty ridiculous, like pretty recklessly. And we start just crushing a couple of shoes, doing well. And then this guy's had like 10 or 12 like Jack and Diets, and he's like just starts, you know, playing these crazy hands, and I'm still staying pretty conservative. And then he's a huge fight fan anyway, because the waitress, I knew her, she knew who I was. And then he was like, you know, first he didn't believe me, and I'm like, well, I don't really care if you believe me. I'm trying to win money. Like, anyway, so we ended up playing like all night. He won about $20,000. It was crazy.
Wow.
But you know, I did pretty well. Anyway, we're gonna go play blackjack here on the 5th of the 8th in Vegas. So during the expo, we're still at the expo, going to the UFC.
Nice.
Good guy. He's like a neurosurgeon or something from North Dakota. It was weird.
Did you bet your virginity?
I didn't know.
Nice. All right, so let's get into the fights for 5 minutes. Then we got to call TJ Dillashaw. UFC 144, did you watch it?
I did.
All right, so DJ versus Ali Bogatinov. Now, listen, a lot of people complain about this whole card in general.
Wasn't that stacked?
They said it wasn't stacked. The fights weren't that good. Too many decisions.
Yeah.
Look, you cannot. It's just there's no way of knowing. There's no way of saying these are going to be great fights. These are going to be terrible fights. That's just the way the fight game is.
That's how it plays out. Because if it had all been knockouts, then everybody would have been like, it's the greatest card ever.
It's amazing how many MMA fans are like, I'm never ordering a UFC again. This is bullshit. I mean, do you watch a football game and go, the Jets played like shit. You know what? I'm done with football. But I mean, it's just, right. This is just a sport. It's a sport, and that's the way it goes.
Anything can happen.
Now, on the other hand, I do think that when you have some of these guys that are 125, 135, some of the lighter guys that people don't know of, you got to stack the card with some veterans, some guys like Roy Nelson or Dan Henderson or Cormier or some of these bigger names out there. Maybe they're not champions, but they're going to be fun to watch. There are certain guys that are always fun to watch, and I think that's you got to stack the card with that. That's what this card was missing. The best fight on the card was the girl fight. I never heard of those two girls. I don't know who they were, but they put on the best fight of the night.
I agree.
Now
that one girl's eye was so black and swollen
that Donald Sterling tried to cut it. Now DJ is one of these guys that he's just good at everything. He's a great fighter. He's not the best personality. He's got, he's one of these guys that he looks good. A guy like Ali Bogatinov, these tough Russians from Turkestan, right? Is that what it's called? Or
Dagestan.
They're not going to be easy to put away. They're going to be almost impossible to put away.
Yeah,
and
like little Russian Terminators.
Yeah, so I thought DJ looked good. I think that, you know, it's one of those things. I think if he drained his ears, he'd make 105 grams, actually. But you know what? He doesn't want to fight John Dodson next. I think that's a mistake. I think that was the best fight DJ was in. John Dodson is always in a good fight. And
And always exciting.
Always exciting. What did you think of the fight, Jake?
You know, I mean, you kind of touched on what you were talking about earlier. I think just the misconception about the sport is when you have two guys that are, you know, at the highest level competing, it's like it's not always going to be exciting. You know, you got guys who are really battling for inches, and I mean, whether it's a position or a punch or a strike, I mean, it's like a chess
match.
You know, that's the sport. There's so many variables. It's like there's always going to be an exciting finish or a crazy knockout, you know. But that's the thing, that the level of competition keeps getting higher, and honestly, there's going to be boring fights. I mean, guys are being able to neutralize each other in certain areas, and people, you know, you got the typical American crowd that's going to get drunk and food.
And that lady, you know, screaming. There has to be some. There was a lady.
I almost thought that was Tyron Woodley's mom.
No, Tyron Woodley's mom is like actually funnier.
Right.
This woman looked like she was someone's being castrated, or I thought somebody wrote that's actually Vanderlei having to take a test.
That's funny.
But that noise in the background, it looked like somebody, I actually wrote on the text from last fight that actually it was Rory McDonald killing Tyron Woodley in the back because he's like Dexter.
It's a psycho.
But there was a woman screaming.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody in the UFC at a comedy club when someone heckles. At a good comedy club, someone will say, listen,
bouncer,
you have to leave. Quiet down.
Chill out or you have to leave.
There has to be someone to go up to that screaming lady and say, unless she's giving birth back there,
right?
That's the only way that's acceptable to hear that noise, right? I mean, did you hear that noise, Jake?
I did. It was, it was quite annoying.
Yeah, but it was actually Brian Caraway and Misha Tate. She was having sex with him in the back. No, so... Now, all right, that being said, the Tyron Woodley-Rory McDonald fight, that was, to me, the most shocking fight. I thought that Tyron didn't look like he was at his best. Dana White said that Tyron chokes in big fights.
I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
I can't wait to talk about this.
Let's hear it, Jake.
You know, I mean, I'm a big Tyron Woodley fan. Like, the problem, like, with... a guy like Rory is, you know, even when I fought him too, you know, and I took my chewing, but it's like, it's not necessarily somebody choked. It's like, it's you got a guy who who's very disciplined in, during the fight, especially with his strategy, like Rory. And he's really, the reality is he's just a hard guy to fight. I mean, he may not be the most exciting fighter. He's hard to fight, and he looked good. He did. He looked good. And I think I agree with you there. I don't think Tyron was at his best, but, you know, that Rory, he's made, you know, he can make a lot of good guys not look great. And that's just, you know, both guys are top guys in the sport, but Rory impressed me.
I'll tell you who looked good in that fight was Robbie Lawler, because he destroyed Rory McDonald. And, you know, you look at what Robbie Lawler did to Rory. I mean, it makes, and now what, you know, how Robbie beat you, it makes, look how good Robbie Lawler looks. I mean, Rory McDonald is a killer. But I think it's one of those cases when he's on, he might be one of the hardest, he's definitely one of the hardest guys to beat in that division when he's on.
Definitely.
And he was on that night. And Tyron Woodley, I don't know if it was nerves, I don't know if it was being in Canada, you know, but he's one of these guys, I honestly think Tyron Woodley needs to step aside, and I like Tyron. He's been the biggest supporter of mine. If any, out of all the fighters, he's the guy the most. He's been nice to me. But he needs to really think, okay, I know he's auditioning for Batman versus Superman as like one of the guys. He's got like three movies coming out. He's got a commercial. He's also got three kids, one of the hottest wives I've seen in a while. He's got a lot on his plate,
Yeah.
And you know, at this level of MMA, you know, if you're going to be the champion, you can't be worried about Batman versus Superman. You know,
right.
Honestly, you can't be worried. It's hard enough to have three kids and not be the champion. When you have three kids to feed and you're an MMA fighter, I honestly think it's at the level where there's a certain athlete that can kind of pull that kind of shit off. It's Manny Pacquiao, but that's one in a fucking jillion. You know,
yeah, Avery does an amazing job with the kids, though. That's his wife. She does an amazing job with the kids and allows him to do what he does.
Yeah, but he needs to just focus on fighting. And I'm not saying he's not focused on fighting, because he is. But I know that, like, there was an article on FoxSports.com about him auditioning for Batman vs. Superman and him doing three movies. Remember when he came on the show? I have a commercial. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking Tyron Woodley. I'm just saying that it's so, at that level, you know, you're doing the hardest sport in the world. In my opinion, the hardest sport in the world. And I think you have to be a person who is uber focused. And I think this will be Ronda Rousey's downfall if she keeps this up, you know.
It happened with Quentin Jackson too, with the A-Team and what's the other
Gina
Carano.
Mayhem Miller is a perfect example of somebody who all of a sudden you start
breaking in churches.
The thing is, acting is a full-time job. Acting's a full-time job.
Definitely.
Hosting's a full-time job. Stand-up comedy is a full-time job. And fighting's a full-time job. And it's hard to have doing those five things, you know? And that's how I honestly feel. I hate to say that.
Once
you
start spreading yourself thin, something
it's
has to give.
Reality, you know? I think it's when you talk about time management, it's like, it's really not, I mean, obviously you have to be focused, but even being focused, you have to manage your time, where like you can't be, you know, you can't be one foot in. You can't spend 60% of the time in the gym when you could be spending 90%. You know what I mean? It's like, I agree. You know, you look at a guy like GSP, he was nobody. I mean, really in reality, nobody worked harder than he did. And that's,
I'm
on board.
I understand it. Look, you're getting paid. Some of these guys are getting paid $40,000 to fight or $20,000 to fight, and they're going to and they have to pay their trainer, and their manager, and their agent, and their lawyer, and their all these people. They go to a movie set, and they get $500,000 or whatever they're getting, $200,000, and they're
treated like royalty,
pampered, and hey, just say these three words, and then go out there, and you're getting craft services. You start to double think, like, hey, I could do this. This is fucking. Right. Well, what the hell am I gonna go do sprawls and for an hour? At the same time, you know what? Once you start losing a couple of these fights, ask Roger Huerta. Like, those movie roles dry up a little bit, you know, and. It's sort of you have to be really careful. I personally think you should focus on fighting. When you're done fighting, go into movies. Like Jay Haran is an example of a guy who right now is in Spider-Man, has his thing. He's done with fighting. But you know, hey, look, some guys could pull it off. And then there's the other thing of like, look, they want you because you're hot. When you're not fighting, you're not hot, and it's a tough situation.
I think that's where Rampage really messed up. I mean, you know, doing that 18 movie, and he's got his foot in the door. It's like, well, that's your exit strategy right there. I would focus on movies. You know, I'm not saying he should be done fighting. That's definitely his choice. But it's like, that's a you know, the door's open right there. You can, that's your exit strategy, but that's
yeah, no, I understand it. I think a girl like Ronda Rousey could pull it off because she's so much better than everyone else right now. But as soon as that women's division starts getting a little bit tighter, those movie roles, you know, we'll see. All right, final thing, and before we get to our first caller, Brendan Schaub versus Andre Arlovski. Did I just butcher that?
Arlovski.
I'm sorry. So Brendan Schaub, look, personally,
didn't I say it though that he was going to win and it was going to go the distance?
You did say he was going to win. Personally, look, Brendan Schaub does not like me. Okay, he has made it clear that he doesn't find me funny. All right, and that I'm not a. He said that I'm not a fighter, so I can't make fun of him. Which I didn't know you had to actually do the thing. I mean, Jay Leno is not a politician, and he every night he gets or Conan O'Brien or the, I guess you could only make fun of the things that you actually do. That's kind of limiting every comedian's role in life. I have to do every job to make fun of. However, okay. He won.
You do have a podcast, and he has a podcast, so you are kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He's doing.
So,
and it's an MMA podcast.
And I didn't win the fight either. No, kidding. So, personally, I think Brendan Schaub won that fight, okay? I thought Schaub won the first round, the third round. The second round, you can maybe give it to Andre. I thought Schaub got screwed. I do think he got screwed. I think he won that fight. I don't know how his jaw got messed up. It looked like he swallowed John Dodson, or maybe he literally swallowed his pride. But I was waiting.
He definitely hates you after that.
I was waiting for him to thank himself in the post-fight speech. No, but I thought Brendan won that fight, and I think he got screwed in that fight. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Adam. That's the only fight that I did not catch, but... I am. Brendan's good. He's a friend of mine. I was pulling for him. And it seemed like Dana wasn't real happy, but.
All right, thanks. All right, thanks.
And, brother, I don't get much on that one. Sorry.
No worries.
Are you in the bathroom now? It sounds echoey.
Are you riding a flying cow? So. All right. Well, listen. So the other thing we're going to talk to real quick, is that rumor has it that Bellator has signed Kimbo Slice.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't he 53 years old now?
I don't know how old Kimbo is, but that's the word on the street.
It doesn't matter. I'll watch him fight.
The word is that he's. And then I got it from a legitimate source. I can't give away my source, okay? But a legitimate source told me that on the next pay-per-view.
This is about to be hilarious.
Kimbo. No. It's King Mo is going to fight Rampage, and Tito Ortiz is going to fight Kimbo Slice on the next Bellator pay-per-view. I got a legitimate. Insider told me this. Now,
Kimbo is King Mo Slice.
King Mo is taking on Rampage.
King Mo Slice,
the rematch, which I'll actually watch that rematch.
Right.
And Tito Ortiz is going to fight Kimbo Slice on Bellator pay per view.
Kevin Ferguson.
And I would watch that. Like, that's the worst part. I don't understand what Bjorn's thinking. Maybe he just got MySpace. But, like, people are going to watch that.
He just got MySpace.
People are going to watch that. I mean, Tito Ortiz, first they put him up against a guy that he weighs 50 pounds heavier than, who is the champion. The Russian dude. And now they're bringing in a guy who I think was like, what, 1-3 in MMA, who hasn't, in the UFC,
James Thompson was the only person he beat in MMA, right?
He beat James Thompson. He beat Houston Alexander. But he lost to Matt Mitrione, and he lost to Roy Nelson, and he lost to Seth Petruzzelli.
Yeah, Seth Petruzzelli.
He beat Tank Abbott, and he beat James.
At a barbecue?
And he beat Ray Mercer. In some bizarre fight, but so would you watch? Is that a good? What do you think? Is that a good call? Is that a bad call? Would you watch it, Jake? You being the professional fighter here, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, would I watch it? Yeah, sure. You know, would I pay for it to watch it? No, but I'd watch it if it was free.
It's almost like it's not about who's the better fighter; it's a spectacle.
Yeah,
it's for the spectacle of the whole thing at this point.
But you know what, Tito Ortiz versus Kimbo. We'll get the average person at the bar interested. They're going to be like, oh, I want to watch that. And I think Tito destroys Kimbo Slice. He takes him down and pounds him out.
Right, but what does Tito gain from that?
Money.
Other than money, though, what is it? I mean, okay, so you beat a street brawler that doesn't really know MMA that much. And if you lose, then damn, you got beat by a street brawler who doesn't know MMA that much.
Yeah, he gets comments on World Star Hip Hop or something. There's absolutely nothing that he could possibly gain from
that. You surprised me with that one. I didn't know you knew what World Star was.
I love World Star, dude. That's one of my favorite. Whenever I'm feeling down, I want to feel better about my own life, I go on World Star Hip Hop.
And he's like, well, I could be black.
It could be black. It's not just black people. It's white people. It's Asian. It's all people look acting ridiculous. So, anyway, we got TJ Dillashaw, the champ, calling in.
Yeah.
Jake, thanks for your time, brother.
Always, guys. Always good to hear from you.
You are the best, and enjoy the rest of your time. Good luck to Joe Ellenberger. And are you going to be here next week with us?
I will be in San Antonio on Tuesday. Oh, but hopefully I can do this again and we can talk.
Absolutely. So I will hear from you next week.
Sounds good, brother.
Later, Jakey.
Take care.
Later.
All right. Well, that was Jake. Always good to hear from him. All right. So we are here with the champ.
Yeah.
Some people are calling it the biggest upset in the UFC history. We are here with a guy who just beat a guy who had won 32 fights in a row.
Yeah.
Not only beat him, stopped him, dominated him, proved everybody wrong. TJ Dillashaw, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, are you kidding me? Well, first of all, it's the third time you've been on, number one. You know, and why would we have you on before you became a champion and then not afterwards? We're going to have you on.
Thanks for having me on.
But, you know, TJ, I was watching your fights last night, dude, and I was thinking, man, you're the guy, right? So Dwayne Ludwig, when he came to Team Alpha Male, I think they had won 20 fights in a row or something, some ridiculous number. Your loss when you lost Asuncia, which I thought you won that fight. You actually stopped that. You stopped that streak. You were the streak buster, and then you came back, and you're the first champion ever for Team Alpha Male. That's got to feel pretty good.
That feels awesome, brother. Since I got to the team, I've been through all these guys' camps too. I'm trying to get the belt and looking up to these guys to where they're at, and for me to bring home the belt for the first time, the first one to be able to do it is an amazing feeling.
Now, take me through that. So that night, right? So you actually, you go into that fight. You're a 9-1 underdog. The first time you actually dropped him, you would drop Barao. I mean, what's going through your head?
Shoot, man, I didn't even realize what happened. It just felt like I hit air. I hit him so perfectly and so hard that I felt like I didn't even hit anything. It was just perfectly placed. And I don't know, man. It was hard. I was just. Bum rushed him for the finish, but I'm glad I didn't get it. And just, after the round was over, just kind of like, I knew that I could beat the guy, but just kind of was in awe of how well I was doing,
I mean, now,
he looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
dude.
you looked like, I mean, what I like about you is that you're up four rounds to nothing. A lot of fighters would have coasted.
Yeah, Cruz, he just maintained his composure.
I would have coasted. In fact, if I was coaching you, I might have told you, hey, man, you got this fight in the bag. Don't do anything stupid. But you went for the finish.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of my fighting style in general. I'm super aggressive, and I wanted to continue to do what was working for me. I didn't want to get defensive and just get caught, Dwayne actually did want me to do a lot more dancing around, not engaging, and just use my feint to keep him alert, but we didn't have to engage as much. And I came out and I tried doing that for the first 30, 45 seconds, but as soon as he started swinging, I just had to go for it. That's the way I fight, man. I'm balls to the wall all the time.
Now, I know that you have a fiance. You've been dating her for 7 years. Now, that night, did she give you, like, the best head ever?
She definitely helped out the champ, that's for sure.
Really? I mean, she was like, listen, did she call you champ while doing it?
No, but I should have made her.
Oh, that's yeah, hilarious. You definitely should have. I mean, is it now? Do you even sleep that night? Are you up all night? Just
did you
stoked?
Go out and party?
You go out and party?
Yeah, we went out and party. It was. I didn't really get a chance to actually party too hard though, because the fact that there were so many people out there to support me, I had to, thank them all and talk everyone. Everyone was talking my ear off, so I didn't get a chance to let loose. But yeah, I couldn't sleep. I stayed up all night. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Now is it weird?
Too high on life to go to sleep.
Now is it weird? Are you getting a lot of people from high school that you didn't know, and all these, or people that you went to college with that are all like trying to jump on the TJ bandwagon now?
Yeah, they say that they know me or give me an example of when we hung out or something. Yeah, that's definitely happening.
That's hilarious.
And, and I mean, that happened. Now, when I was on Last Comic Standing, all of a sudden, all these people that I went to high school with, hey, we're so proud of you. I'm like, really? Where, you know, where were you for the first 10 years when when I had no money?
We weren't proud of you then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say they were proud of you. I mean, you know, I've had a good following, though, in my hometown through wrestling and stuff, too. So my hometown is crazy because it's a small little town. And even me going to college and doing what I did wrestling was like a big deal for my town. You know, it's I'm in the middle of nowhere and, you know, a town of 800 or a school of 800 people, but that's like combining like five or six different towns. You know, so they've already been supporting me for a while. And this is just, they actually want me to go home and like do a parade and a reception to say hi to everyone.
Are you going to have a parade for real?
I'll probably do a reception, just go home and say what's up. I told them that I wouldn't do a parade. I said I didn't want to ride through my hometown in a convertible, you know, doing that shit. So I told them that I would just come say what's up.
Unless they give you the convertible.
It'll be like that parade that? when the Wicked Witch died. They're like, ding dong, the witch is dead. But all the little people from Team Alpha Male come.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, was your mom and dad there? I mean, how did they react?
Yeah, they've been to all my fights, but the one in Brazil, because I didn't feel safe for them to go to that one. But they were stoked, man. I mean, they were front row. They had great seats for it.
Wow.
And, obviously, they were probably nervous. You know, they're more nervous than I was for the fight. And, you know, it's huge for them. I mean, they've been supporting me like ridiculous. I mean, they've gone to every one of my wrestling matches. They've supported me my entire life in any kind of competition I was doing. So, you know, this is the ultimate goal, and they were just as happy for me as I was for myself.
Now, how many chicks right now are like coming up to you and like, hey, TJ, you know, remember that time you hit on me back in the day? And you never, you know, now are you getting a lot of girls throwing themselves at you?
Not so much in person. I've been so busy doing all this media and traveling so much that you get some stuff on Twitter and on social media, but you just gotta, you know, ignore it.
Does your girlfriend want to get married now?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm actually getting married on Saturday.
No way, really?
Where are you doing it?
Mexico.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks, Evan.
Who's that?
Yeah, she just picked a date, you know. I mean, it was a while ago, but we couldn't plan it around my fight schedule because we had no idea when I was going to fight. And so she just picked a date, and it ended up working out.
Now, is all the guys Team Alpha Male coming?
Not all of them can come. You know, Chad's got to stay on the train for his title fight. Uriah's fighting July 5th, so they won't be able to go. But Joseph and Dwayne and those guys are going.
Oh, man. Now, I gotta talk to you about that, by the way. So, right now, there's a lot of rumors going around that Dwayne is going to Colorado and Martin Kampman's coming in to coach you guys. Other people are saying he's not going to Colorado. Can you clear anything up for us? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So he did move his family back to Colorado. He's going to my wedding, and then after that, he's flying back to Sacramento to help Chad, Danny train for their fights coming up in August, and then to be out for whenever my next fight's going to be as well. And he's actually going to live with me for the next 2 to 3 months and stay in Sacramento and help us train. You know, in the meantime, he's going to continue to start to open up a gym in Colorado. And just get it up and running, you know, so when he is done training, we don't actually know what's going to happen. We're trying to kidnap him and keep him in Sacramento as long as we possibly can. So we're trying to get him to get his gym open and keep him in Sacramento and hopefully make it so that gym can run itself. We'll go out there, do some fight camps out there, train at Elevation, and see how it goes, man. I mean, Dwayne's on a path of being a legend coach. You know, I don't want him to hinder that by quitting so soon. You know, he's going to go back to Colorado and have no one to train. You know, when he's at a gym where he's got a bunch of Ferraris, you know, if this is a race, he's got a bunch of badass cars that he could
But you got some more smart cars, but yeah, so.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I don't want him to end that. You know, there's tons of great fighters that you can name, you know, but there isn't any kind of legendary coaches that you can name in MMA, and he's on the path of becoming one of those coaches, and you know, he'll be set for the rest of his life if he does that. So, you know, we're all trying to talk him into staying, and we'll see what happens. So as of now, he'll be living at my house for the next 3 months.
Well, yeah, him coaching you through the Barao fight should definitely put him in the top, I don't know how many coaches, but I mean, that was a legendary
win. Well, look
at
the record. I mean, look at what he's done to the team. I mean, your record is
The record with him being there is incredible, but the fact that the Barao fight was incredible.
Now the whole thing now, also, I got it. Now, what's up with Martin? Is Martin Kampman coaching you guys?
He's at the gym. He's actually at the gym right now. He's here for Uriah's camp. you know, running some practices and stuff while Dwayne's figuring out what's going on. Just got an extra little eyes and extra help. I mean, he's a great technician. He's good, man. So he's just out here right now running some practice and some technique and just getting new coaches in there. And, you know, if Dwayne were to leave, we gotta do some tryouts for who we want to be out here other than him. You know, we got some big shoes to fill, so I'm not in a hurry to select anybody. But, you know, do some tryouts and see how people work out and see if they could do a good job.
Right. Now, I heard that you spent all your winnings on Lunchables. Is that true?
those pizza ones. You know, the ones where you get to make your own pizza, you put the pepperoni on there?
Yes.
You know, those are my favorites. So, yeah, I spent almost all of it on that. You know, the rest I did snack packs.
And then I heard that Master Tong gambled all your money away. Is there any truth to that, sir?
If he was around, that'd be a definite truth if he could. If he could, he would gamble all my money.
Now, the other question is... Now, the whole thing with you and Faber, right? There's a picture of all you guys celebrating with Faber in the corner looking like he's pouting a little bit. have you seen that picture?
Yeah, I've seen people tweeting about it on Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
Now, that was a coincidence, right? He wasn't really pouting?
No. He's actually stoked for me, man. He's, he gave me the shout-out to even fight Burrell. He believes in me to get this belt and, you know, everyone saw his reaction to my fighting stuff. He's pumped for me. He couldn't, and that's what he wanted. I mean, he brought me in. He trained me from the bottom, and now I'm, you know, I got the championship belt.
Now you're here.
Started from the bottom. Now we're
not here.
Because I heard that you guys were gonna remake the Brady Bunch, and he was gonna be like TJ, and just as the
Marsha.
Now, I mean, have you guys? Now, there's a look. If Faber wins his fight. Which I think he will against Bruce Leroy. There's a good chance of him being back in the top two or three. Have you guys talked about fighting? Are you guys cool with fighting, or what's the deal?
I mean, we've talked about it. We don't want to. I mean, in all of our press comments, everything, all the media stuff, we said we didn't want to have to fight each other. You know, unless the UFC throws some crazy number at us and we can't turn down. But we don't want to fight each other, man. I mean, we're like best friends, let alone brothers. You know, he brought me into the sport. I've been training every single day that I've trained MMA has been under Uriah and his gym. So it'd be tough for me to have to beat him up.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Wow.
I think you just set the ball rolling.
Yeah, TJ, he's a competitive guy. I heard you got thrown out of Rain for beating everyone up. That's the rumor. That's what Mark Munoz said. He politely said, "Listen, this might not be the gym for you cuz you were beating everybody up." Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, so he was told me I should come train with some smaller guys up here in Sacramento. It was a better camp for me. I think the truth was he was just tired of me beating up all the bigger guys in the gym.
That's what I heard. Now, I got to talk
that's
to
amazing.
You.
That's amazing.
According to Burrell's trainer or his partner, Marlon Sandro, said after the fight, he goes, the UFC forced him to fight. It's a bunch of crooks. There are a bunch of crooks and injustice. God does not sleep. We come back stronger. He was upset about like a lot of, there's a lot of excuses going on. Have you heard about that? Any comments on that?
I know that Fox is going to bleep this, but I call bullshit.
Yeah.
I call
100%. I mean, why was he forced to fight? I don't understand. I mean, you're the champion of the fucking world. You're supposed to fight. That's what you do. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? Turn down my next fight? I don't think so, man. I stay ready all the time. I don't understand how you're, getting forced to fight—that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem. Plus, the fight with Faber was like one round and stopped prematurely. In my opinion, it wasn't like he wins in some huge battle with Faber. Now they want to have a rematch in Brazil. You're not going to do that, right?
No, hell no. He's going to have to come to me, man. I mean,
that's right.
There's no way I'm going to Brazil to fight him. I don't even think, you know, he's a good enough fighter where he should get a rematch. But after that performance, I don't think he deserves one. But
wow.
I am more than willing to fight him again because of his name. You know what I mean? No matter, all he's going to do is skyrocket me by beating him again and, you know, and just proving my dominance over him. So, you know, he's going to have to come to me and get beat up again.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the champ should have to make the call. Even with, like, John Jones and Gustafsson, he's like, I'm not going to Sweden. First of all, you go to Brazil, they're going to keep you up all night. They're gonna mess with you. They're gonna give you terrible situations. They're gonna change they do a lot of things in boxing and MMA that people don't know about. I don't know if the UFC they do it in the UFC, but they like change your flights. They screw up your sleeping time. You know, You should be able to fight.
Send shit to your room.
Yeah, people send hookers to your room, which you send to me. You know, you don't need that stress.
Is that a plus or a negative? That's,
depends.
By the way,
well,
how
I'm going to Brazil to fight?
Yeah. Now, how is that? How is your bachelor party? By the way.
You know, I actually never had one. I was
boo.
I after my fight, that was my plan. You know, I got this fight lined up, and I was like, you know what? I'll just wait till after my fight. I'll do a sweet bachelor party. I'll be the champ of the world. It'll be fun, you know. But dude, I've been so busy, more busy from my fight than before it, that I haven't even got time. So hopefully I'll talk my wife into letting me do a post-wedding bachelor party.
Yeah, right. That's a terrible idea.
I don't know if that'll work out, but see if I can talk her into it.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a divorce, dude. You're better off having... Now, I mean, now, is your wife into some kinky stuff, or is she kind of just like a straight-laced kind of girl?
Oh, dude, she's super cool, man. She's straight. She's awesome. She's been around for a long time, and, you know, she liked me before everyone else did. So she's good, man. She's a good one. That's why I'm getting married.
Nice, man. Well, good, dude. Hey, listen, I'm really proud of you. A couple questions from people on the internet. Somebody on SureDog wants to know about your how much does your fight with John Dodson bother you still?
You know, it doesn't bother me too much. I mean, I've had to forget about it right after it happened, because if I sat there and dwelled about it, you know, I wouldn't be getting as good as I am now. You know, you got to get better. Would I like to get it back? Yeah, absolutely. Maybe one day I could, after I hold my belt long enough, really drop to 25 and get it back.
Can you drop 25?
Yeah, I could easily go to 25, man. I'm a smaller 35 pounder. I've been trying as hard as I possibly can to put weight on for this weight. For this weight class. So I could, I mean, I don't want to. I mean, it'd be tough, but I could do it.
That's crazy. So you could potentially be the 125-pound champ and the 135-pound champ.
Yeah, that's the legendary stage, man. That's what, you know, I set my goal to be UFC champion. You know, now my goal is to hold on to this belt and become a legend. And if I want to become a legend in the sport, I got to maybe try to do something no one else has, and that's hold on to two belts, huh?
That's crazy. Now, what do you walk around at, like 150, 145?
Yeah, 150. You know, when I'm trying to get as heavy as I possibly can, I'll get a little bit heavier than 150. But I actually think that's a plus for fighting your weight class, is if you're training all the time the same way you step in the cage, you know, my body's not going to be going into shock from cutting a bunch of weight. I think guys could cut too much weight.
Yeah, but that's at 135. I mean, if you're a ripped 135, you're going to 125, that's a lot of weight.
Oh, it'd be tough. I mean, I'll have to change my lifestyle up for sure for months on end, but you know, I could do it. It's not impossible.
And the Tiger Man on the Underground wants to know if Dillashaw ever let Misha Tate triangle him in training.
All the time, man. That was like the go to move, triangle defense when you're going with Misha.
Really?
See, all the time.
That was the go to move.
The mount. I like the defense to the mount when she's grappling, or what else? You know, we do north south position all the time.
Nice.
Wow.
AKA the 69.
I'm after this. I'm driving to Alpha Male and joining your camp, man. By the way, I say it all the time, but Team Alpha Male is my favorite camp. You guys follow me on Twitter, and you guys are the most supportive people, always retweeting me, always giving me love, and I just want to say, and if anybody's a great sport, it's you guys, and thank you for that. Thank you, because honestly...
Absolutely, man. You're a funny dude, man. Why would we gotta appreciate your comedy instead of getting your feelings hurt.
No, dude, it's honestly, and I'm the biggest supporter, honestly. You guys are just like little monsters, and... It's really cool. So, TJ Dillashaw, we're gonna let you go, man. Thank you for everything, man. Thank you for winning thank you for being you
and bringing the belt back to the U.S.
Yes, that was
hell yeah.
And you know what? I said it before. You're kind of guy. I don't think you're the most talented human being on the planet. No offense. You worked your ass off. You worked your ass
for
off.
Sure.
I think we talked about this before in college. And for your freshman, you had a losing record in wrestling as a freshman. You know, and then you came, and then by the time you were a senior, you were an All American, and then you went over, you know, and joined Team Alpha Male. You're a guy who's worked his ass off, and I really appreciate that, man.
Oh, I appreciate it too, man. I mean, I had to become the athlete that I am, and I think that's what made me so much better, is that I had to work so hard. If shit would have came too easy to me, then I would have just quit a long time ago, and the going got tough. You know, I mean. Natural talent only gets you so far. You got to be able to work hard.
I feel that way about comedy. Now, where can people follow you?
you can follow me on TJ Dillashaw on Twitter or Instagram. I'm in the process of building that website, TJDillashaw.com.
All right. Well, good luck with the wedding. Best of luck the rest of your life. I can't wait to your next defense. And thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Take
care. Congratulations, man. Later.
Later.
All right, that was TJ Dillashaw.
True champ.
True champion, man. Nice to see a good guy who puts in the hard work. Things actually happen for him,
right?
You know? You see too many guys that are just, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just jaded because I've been in Hollywood too long. You see so many douchebags succeed. And right. You see these guys that you're just like, man, really?
You're going to let him through?
They slept with a casting director or their cousins, a producer, or whatever it is. They don't work hard. It's good to see a guy who actually works hard succeed. All right, so our next guest, you may know him from The Ultimate Fighter, the heavyweight series. He's a badass fighter. He's a nice guy. He's in a huge feud with Rampage Jackson right now via Twitter. And which stemmed from 5 years ago on The Ultimate Fighter when Rampage kept calling him titties. Daryl, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just here at the gym, you know, same old, same old.
Now, where are you training now?
I own Red Spider MMA in El Paso, Texas.
Oh, nice. I was in El Paso at the comic strip recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
I think I heard you on KLQ Morning Show.
Oh, nice. Well, thanks for coming to the show, dude. Appreciate it, man. I like El Paso's crazy. That's where you grew up, correct?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
El Paso's a pretty rough area. You're right by Juarez, Mexico, which is like
Jesus.
Which is like Iraq. I think more people died in Juarez than Iraq last year.
We call it Warak.
Really?
It's, nah,
it's
made that up.
It's a very tough place. Now, was that hard growing up in El Paso?
What was that again?
Was that hard growing up in El Paso?
Oh, no. No, of course not. When I was young, we all used to go to Juarez. It was before it got crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the drug cartel is crazy. They got really good strip clubs in El Paso, though. Huge strip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the hottest chicks I've ever seen. It's like there's a whole strip of just strippers.
Really?
Yeah, good times. Now, Now, Daryl, I was actually doing some research on you recently. I didn't even know this. So you grew up in El Paso, and then you were in the Army for a while. How long were you in the Army for, and where did you serve?
I did 8 years. I did 4 years active, 4 years reserves. I was stationed in Babenhausen, Germany. Then I came back, and I was in Fort Hood for a couple years.
Wow. Now, you were actually born on a military base in Germany, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, did you like being in the military? Was it something that you recommend?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course, yeah. And the camaraderie that you build in the armed forces has no comparison.
And then, you're kind of I was looking at your record. You're kind of a streaky fighter. You were 10-0. And then you went on The Ultimate Fighter. You were 10-0 on The Ultimate Fighter. You lose to Jay McSweeney. You lost your next five fights. And then you won three in a row, including a victory over Paul Buontello. You lost your last fight. I mean, is it just kind of confidence or nerves? Or what is it about you with streaks?
Yeah, I actually went 4-0 again before I lost another one.
All right.
But that one, I don't know. It's for some reason, it's not in Sure Dog. It was in New Mexico. But, no, man, honestly, whenever I was 10-0, I was just constantly training my ass off. I had my one coach, you know, for the longest time. Then after The Ultimate Fighter, I switched gyms. It was just, it was a lot of issues, you know what I mean? It costs money to be a fighter. It costs money to not work and constantly be training, you know what I mean? So I think that was the thing, is I got in so much debt that I was constantly taking fights on short notice. And just stupid things, you know what I mean? I had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, yeah. And now you're in some kind of huge Twitter feud with Rampage Jackson, which started because he kept calling you titties on the show, which, you know, I guess it's like funny, but it did kind of develop into it felt like you were being bullied a little bit. It was like, all right, he called you titties, you didn't like it, blah, 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 but then he kept going and kept going, and people like Rampage, so they were, you know, he has this personality where, you know, he could sort of get everyone laughing around him. But it wasn't, I mean, I wouldn't want to be called titties on national television, and I could see why you got upset. Anything you want to? Yeah, he's a, anything you want to say about to Rampage now? Yeah. Or?
No, man. I'm honestly just hoping all this does happen because I'm ready to go in there and whoop his ass, and I'm gonna do anything in my ability to make it happen.
Now after the show, right? Were people calling you titties on like internet? Did it continue?
Yeah, honestly, I hardly ever looked on the internet because the articles were driving me crazy. But oh yeah, of course, it's continued for a while now, man. I'm freaking tired of it. I want to go in there and I want to whoop Rampage's ass. I want to get it over with.
I would love to see that fight. I mean, how do you see that? I mean, he is a big guy. He does throw a huge punch. He's beat some legends. How do you see this fight going? Say someone says, you know what? Bjorn Rebney says, look, this is going to make, you know, good ratings. I would like to get, you know, Daryl is 4-1 in his last 5 fights. We're going to have him come in and fight Rampage. How do you see this fight going?
Honestly, I've said it once. I'll say it again. My whole goal, if I get to fight Rampage, is just to step in there, go toe-to-toe with him, and not move. If I wanted to, I could outbox him. I have a longer reach. I could move around. I don't want to. I want to get right in his face. It's a grudge fight. And it's just going to be a standing toe-to-toe brawl until somebody falls.
I may have to. I would love to see this fight. And now, I mean, because it is. But he did say he wants to fight you. He went on Twitter and said he wants to fight James Toney. And then he said, I want to fight. And then you're next, titties. Do you think maybe he feels bad about that? Or
I think now he's just going back on his word. You know what I mean? Because he went out there and called me out. And now he keeps changing his mind. And he doesn't want to. Or anytime you see his responses on Twitter, it's like, you're taking this too far. Or yeah. Like, I have no idea. I think he's pushing out right now. That's about it.
Do you think possibly that, like, because I know for being a comedian, like as soon as somebody gets in, like the thing is, I get people all the time making fun of me. And and sometimes it does get to me. I'm a human being and things happen. But if I let them know it gets to me, that's when they really have fun making fun of me. Do you think the fact that, like, if you just would have said, okay, I have, you know, big boobs, whatever, you know, you got me, ha ha ha, that people would have went away?
The fact of the matter is that we're men, and men usually settle stuff like that by fighting, and we never got to fight it out. You know what I mean? The whole reason we couldn't do anything on the show is because they literally say, if you fight, you're going to get kicked off the show. You know what I mean? And me, I was a white kid growing up in a Mexican community, even though my mom is Mexican. But I was always bullied. I had glasses. You know, everything always happened to me. But me, I always settled it, you know, by standing up to that guy. But I couldn't stand up to this guy in front of, you know, on television. But I want to do it now, man.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
I mean, now's the perfect time.
And there was a time, actually, when he called. I watched some of the clips last night, actually. And there was a time when he said, come on, man, come on. He was in the middle of the room, and you had your team behind you, and he had his team behind you. How close were you to still going into the middle of that room and then fighting Rampage?
Well, yeah, there's some other clips, too, where I called him onto the cage. There's a cage there all the damn time. We could have went in there and settled it, but he never wanted to.
I mean, yeah. Now, would you make 205 for that fight?
If I had to. I mean, I would rather do like a catchweight, but if I had to, I'll make it.
I mean, what are you working out? You're like 250?
Right now, I'm like 245, 255.
That's still 50 pounds. That's a lot of weight, you know?
Hey, it's not going to be for a while. I'll start cutting now. Taking about 4 months.
Look, I would like to see it. It kind of would be a bully beatdown situation where you do get to fight the bully. Because he did, you know what, I was watching it again, and I'm like, you know, at the time, I didn't think about much of it, but I was putting myself in your shoes. You're a young kid. Were you, what, 22 years old, 23 at the time?
Yeah, I was young, man.
I mean, you were in the Army. You basically stopped going to the Army to do the Ultimate Fighter. You're 10-0. You got this huge star making fun of your boobs on TV, and he kept going. And I'm like, you know what? It is kind of fucked up, to be honest. I did feel for you, man. I mean, I've been in a position where I've been bullied. People have made fun of me. People have made me cry before when I was in middle school and high school. It sucks. And even now, I get bullied sometimes by other people who have other shows on the internet, and they're like, oh, you know, you're not fun. And it just sucks. And you know, I did sort of feel for you, man. And even now, like when I say, like on Twitter, you're going to be on our podcast, people go, titties, titties, titties. I mean, there's random people calling you titties. So
right now, man, I just tried to all the regular people that have no say, that just want to talk shit all the time, I just ignore them, honestly, man. My main consideration is just focusing on Rampage and whooping his ass and hoping that gets to happen sometime.
Now, do you have a girlfriend? You have a wife? What's your deal?
I just have my girlfriend, Sandra.
Now, did you get a lot of girls showing you their titties after the show? I mean, did that possibly? Hey, listen, you want to see some real titties?
I've been with Sandra for about 6 years now.
Oh, come on! You could at least capitalize it. I know. Now, I was watching a couple of your videos last night. You have a school you opened up?
Yeah, I have Red Spider MMA. It's my gym over here in El Paso.
Nice. And how's that doing money wise?
It's okay.
Good. Good for you, man. Good for you. I mean, you seem like a good guy. Honestly, like when I saw you on Twitter, I was like, you know what? Here's a guy that like I was like, oh man, I want to follow this guy, and I was happy you followed me back, and I'm happy to have you on the show. I'd love to help you out any way possible. And to people, I mean, I would tell people to stop calling you titties on Twitter, but then I'm like, you know what? And like a way, every time someone does that, they become like invested in you in some way, and it might help you get the fight, right?
It does.
So
it does. So, like, you know what I mean? I don't mind it at all. No publicity is bad publicity. That's the way I see it now.
Now, are you getting...
I'm a lot older. I'm a lot more mature. I know what needs to be done. I'm not a 22-year-old kid. I'm the Ultimate Fighter. You know what I mean?
Now, does your girlfriend sometimes, like, see that you got upset and she was like, hey, listen, you hear some real titties and put them in your mouth and let you suck on them and stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
In the middle of arguments, does she ever call you titties to get on your nerves? You know, like how you'll hold one card back that you can use on your girl?
Whatever, titties, whatever!
Girlfriend has double D's, man.
Really?
Does she really?
Do you guys mush them together?
They gotta be bigger than
you. You guys mush them together.
I'm not with her.
Wait, so you guys do mush them together sometimes and like have like a titty sandwich?
Sure, bro.
And I'm kidding. These are jokes. Listen, Daryl. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
I thought you hung up on me.
I'm like, oh man.
Nah, I won't hang up.
Oh, please don't, dude. I am a fan. I want to see now. You lost your last fight, but you won four before ahead of that. Now you were a state champion in wrestling. You're a guy who served our country, man. You're a hero. I want to say thank you for that, dude. Thank you.
Ah, no problem.
Yeah, I do notice that. You're mad about the mushing together comment. Yeah, I feel like you're mad. It was I'm a comedian. I have to sometimes, do the.
Yeah, no, man. I'm saying I heard you on the KLK Morning Show.
Oh, cool. All right, gotcha. Now, all right. Now, what else do you want to talk about? Anything else you want to talk about?
Excuse me.
Anything? No. Oh, yeah. Guys from the Ultimate Fighter. So you were on a season with Brendan Schaub, with Roy Nelson, Kimbo Slice, James McSweeney. Do you talk to any of those guys still?
Honestly, the only one I keep in touch with is Matt Mitrione.
Oh, nice.
He calls me all the time. Well, he calls me every now and then, at least once a month or so.
Nice. Now, how's the training over in El Paso?
It's okay. Well, it's all the guys that I've trained up. It's the guys that I've coached that are now pros that I work with. But so usually like if I have a big fight like that, I go out of town. I'll go get some sparring somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean,
my last few fights when I was on my win streak, my four win streak, it was all just from training here.
Right.
The thing too, whenever I was training out of town in all these big gyms, it seems I was just getting hurt all the damn time.
What gyms were those?
I was at American Top Team, and then I went to some other gyms in Miami.
So you think it's kind of a myth that if you go to a better camp, that you'll have better results?
No, honestly, now I work with Ben Arsdale a lot. He'll help me out with my training, and it's just all about smart training, not mind. You know what I mean? Not getting your head punched in.
Yeah, that's what a lot of guys say. A lot of guys say that like they go to these like a Greg Jackson gym, or I know guys that go to American Top Team and like they spar too much, and then they end up getting injured. So
when you're just sitting there sparring top guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're gonna get injured.
So all right, so what's it gonna take for you to get back into the UFC or a Bellator or a World Series of Fighting or one of the top three
honestly,
things?
I really don't even care about it all, man. I'm gonna fulfill my contract with MSC, great organization. I want to go in there, and I have two more fights with them. I just want to go in there and just smoke whoever the hell they put up against me. And then after that, I would really just like to fight with Rampage. and then I'll be more than happy to step down. That's the guy I want to kill. You know.
Okay, so.
So whatever I gotta do, I have to go through two more guys, and then hopefully I get a shot with him.
Okay, so let's say I'm Rampage Jackson, right?
Yo.
All right, so I'm Rampage Jackson. What are you gonna?
That was probably the worst impersonation of Rampage I've ever heard.
Yo.
Yo.
So what?
Dead on.
So what?
Just like him.
Now, what are you gonna say to me? What would you say to me?
You need a bigger fucking head to be Rampage, man.
Now, what are you gonna say to me to get that fight going? I want the last fighting words. So this is gonna sell our podcast. It's gonna sell this fight. It's all on the line right here. Let's go. Daryl Schoonover, make your case against Rampage Jackson.
Paige, I got two more fights after I win these two fights. Let's make it happen, man. I want to go in there. I want to fuck your face up. Possibly piss on your face. One or the other.
Piss on your face.
I want to piss
on
your
face. You heard it here first. He's going to piss on your face.
He wants to piss on his face. I like that song. I think it's pretty catchy, actually. Yeah. All right, so Daryl Schoonover wants to piss on Rampage's face. Okay.
That's going to be the title of the thread. Yes.
Now, where can people find you?
To piss on.
where can people find you?
You can just follow me on Twitter. You know, D Schoonover.
And then, is there now? Where can people find your
or
gym?
Facebook.
If I'm in El Paso, where can people find your gym?
Oh yeah, for 480 Talbot, Red Spider MMA, El Paso, Texas.
Got you. All right. So Schoonover wants to pee on Rampage's face. That's going to be the title of our podcast. You're like the new R. Kelly of fighting.
There you go. Be the R. Kelly. Give him a golden shower or something. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Thanks for coming on our show, man.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Scoony.
Love to have you back. All right. That was Daryl Schoonover. Wants to pee on Rampage's face.
Did you give out his piss on your Facebook address?
Piss on your Facebook. I love it. All right. Thank you, Jake Ellenberger, for calling in. Good luck to Joe Ellenberger. You have our back. Hopefully. Can't wait to see you win this fight. I don't want to just jinx you, though, because I seem to jinx people when I tell them. Thank you for calling in, Jake. Great seeing you. Look forward to talking to you soon. Also, thank you, TJ Dillashaw, the champ. Great to hear from the champ on the show. And thank you, Daryl Schoonover. I hope you get that Rampage fight and get to, you know, I know your goal is to knock out Rampage and then pee in his face. And I would watch that. I definitely would watch that. I think that would a lot of people would watch that, and it would make for great fodder. So thank you, guys. You could follow me at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. Or you can check me out at adamhunter.com. I will be, where am I? I'm in LA this week, the John Lovitz Comedy Club, the Comedy Store, other places. Next week, I am in Calgary at the Comedy Cave in Calgary. Followed by that, I'm at the Las Vegas, at Bally's, at the LA Comedy Club. Thank you guys so much. I'm coming to New York. I'm doing Gotham Live in late July. So thank you very much and have a great day.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.